The following podcast is intended for mature audiences and contains offensive material that is for entertainment purposes only. You have been warned.
It's like a smiley face Undertaker and a sad face Undertaker, which is normal Undertaker. And it's like farting while I poop is the smiley face one. And then pooping while I fart is the frowny face one. The funny part was is the smiley face one actually looks like Corey Taylor from Slipknot.
Oh, God.
It's a really weird meme. I think I don't know if I sent it to you guys or not, but it was really funny. I was also checking out a podcast recently, and they'd mentioned something about like the Undertaker's tombstone, and apparently the Undertaker was like supposed to be one of the only ones that's allowed to give the tombstone on WWE TV.
Even though everybody was doing it in the last couple years.
Oh, I know, especially like as a reversal to Undertaker's tombstone. They would like, try to do it to him. Like Randy Orton tried it, Edge, like a bunch of fucking people to start.
Actually, I was reading, did you know they wanted Edge to beat the streak?
That would have been better. I mean, it's
well, at the time, Edge was already put over.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Edge said no.
Not ready, huh? It's a lot of, I mean, I guess it would be a lot of, I mean, that's a lot of pressure, you know.
And he was kind of talking about how Brock shouldn't have been the one to beat the streak. It should have been Roman.
Yeah, but the time to have done it would have been when Roman was not popular. You know, he was like hated because he was being forced down the throat. I don't know. I honestly think Brock beating the streak wasn't bad. Because it added an extra layer of credibility to his already credible veneer.
Edge's thing was like, Brock was already a made man. Oh, should have gave it to somebody who's not a made man.
I mean, that's true, too. Yeah, I would... I could see why they would have gave it to, like, to Edge. Also, it would have been good to give it to somebody, you know, who's believably gonna beat the streak. Like, I don't know. I think one guy that could have not benefited from it, but that it would have, like, it actually may have taken him even higher than he already is, would have been like Randy Orton.
Oh yeah, because he was the legend killer.
He was indeed. That just would have made
so
much
better.
Now
he's just a killer
legend. Oh! He is the thing of fables.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're going to talk about it on a much later episode, but gearing up for... Texas Chainsaw Massacre as a release. That should be pretty cool.
It's already out. I was reading some people's comments. And they were like, a lot of people were like, it's really hard.
Oh, that's good.
It's like,
I wonder if people are actually enjoying it, you know, like more.
There was a lot of mixed reviews. A lot of people are enjoying it, but a lot of people are like, I just need to play it more and get better at it kind of shit. And,
yeah, because I have seen some negative stuff on it already. Like,
yeah, I heard there was a couple people saying, I don't like it, it's too hard. But most people because don't like games like that anymore.
Oh, because it's too hard. They're a bunch of pussies. See that? Okay, so I was kind of going to go back into this. Every so many years, I will bring up the infamous Mighty No. 9 video game that was put out by Concept, which was supposed to be like the spiritual successor to the Mega Man series.
Mm-hmm.
That is the prime, you know, out of all the complaints that I've read about it, that is the prime reason why people fucking hated it, was because it was too hard. And that's the reason why I love it. It's like they finally made a Mega Man game for someone like me who wanted the hard game. You know,
yeah.
Who was getting sick of just, oh, hey, the new Mega Man's
breathing
out.
Breathing through the fucking game.
Yeah, two days later. Oh, I beat it.
Yeah, that was a waste of money. Like,
I mean, at least they could say that, you know, that's, you know, maybe that's going to contribute to its longevity as far as replayability is concerned, you know, is making it a hard game. Because, like, I don't know, I wouldn't want to play, I honestly wouldn't want to play it if it was going to be easy. Especially if you're playing against the computer and having challenging moments.
Yeah.
But just imagine what the group sessions are going to be like. You know, I mean, there's like an equal amount of Sawyers as there is online playable characters.
Yeah, it makes it more... as long as they aren't making one team more powerful than the other, as long as you use their attributes correctly, it should be fair on each side.
Yeah, I think because your only leverage point is Leatherface. Like,
yeah, because like on Evil Dead, if your survivors aren't working together, the fucking zombie's gonna win 8 out of 10 times.
Yeah,
unless if the zombie's a noob and doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, and that's the
I'm
same.
Sorry, Kandarian demon. So sorry.
And that gets it gets that way too with Dead by Daylight. Even though a lot of the times you're just fighting one killer, there are some instances where you're fighting multiples, and you're like. And there's not just, it just, sometimes it doesn't feel like there's enough. But I do love it when, especially when, you know, you're facing like a killer, like in Friday the 13th, you know, when you were facing Jason, Jason had all those extra supernatural touches to him that made him hard, even when you had like fucking five people on your side.
There, though, one guy's like, first time I was Leatherface, I did a kill and it was amazing. Like, remember how we loved to get killed by Jason?
Oh, yeah, that was the best part.
Off, it was like, I want Jason to find me so he can kill me.
That was 90% of what I did in the game, was just get murdered.
I know.
I was like, I didn't care about winning. I grabbed the gas can, put it by the car, grab a lot of the items and stage them in places where they were easier to find. And then I'd just go run and try to find Jason. It's like, all right, where are you, motherfucker? I'm coming for you.
Motherfucker, I want you to kill me.
I remember
the deaths were just fucking awesome.
I remember one time I was playing, and I wish I had seen this death because I'm going to come back to it here in a minute. But one time I was playing, and I ran all the way out to the woods, you know, where you can find Jason's mom's shirt. Like, you remember where you find the sweater and put it on, and then all of a sudden you're Jason's mom. And... like, I remember getting to that point, I put on the sweater, and then I start playing the mind games with him and shit. And the moment he fucking realizes that it's just another person, you know, when he's not falling under the spell, then I fucking just straight up start fucking hack and slashing him with with just my hands. I'm just like, fucking, all right, time to attack. And I have no weapons.
No, I used to love, like...
no weapons.
When he would, like, catch you in a doorway and just bash your head in with the door. And
So I never got to see this death scene, but I saw it in a video earlier today where somebody was playing as Jason Takes Man. I think it was Jason 7, Jason. And Jason had grabbed one of the victims and fed them into a fucking, into like one of those wood chippers.
Oh, God, yes.
If like feet first into the wood chipper. And I was like, or no, head first into the wood chipper, I'm sorry. And I'd never seen that death before in that game.
I'd never seen that.
And I was like, I saw it on Instagram earlier and I was like, what the fuck? I didn't know you could do that. It was like, I wonder if it was like a special kill for Jason 7. Cause you remember like Friday 13th 7 was one of the few movies where Jason had a lot of different weapons. Like he had that weird hedger saw and he had the, he used different methods of killing.
So oh yeah.
I kind of wonder.
I love Seven, dude. Seven was great.
So that's why I wonder if, if that's what that is, if it's just because they picked that Jason.
The tent spike, the fucking.
Yeah. The, was it six or seven where he takes the one chick's boyfriend's face and puts it through the side of the bus?
It's the girlfriend in the RV.
Okay.
While the one fucking stoner dude's driving.
Oh, that's in six.
Yeah, and he puts the knife through his head.
Okay. What about the one I was thinking about, the party favor. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah, that was seven.
That was seven, yeah.
He's the black guy in the face as he pops his head out the front window.
Yep, pops it right in his eye, and you hear the squeak.
Remember watching the behind-the-scenes and showing how much blood that scene actually had and how much they cut?
Oh, God.
And it was just seconds of blood. And there was a lot of blood, but it was just, they just cut seconds of blood.
I want to think back then the MPAA was like, not as kind, especially to horror movies.
Oh, God, no.
Because that they were like, because the 80s was like when the age of gore excess started to happen. And because you saw some of it in the 70s, but a lot of it was implied. Where like, you know, like in Halloween, there's just like a moment where there's blood. And then most of it's just cutaway footage. Texas Chainsaw was the same thing. You saw like one moment where like Sally's bleeding from the finger and that's it. And then, you know.
Well, you saw the person go on the hook, but there was really no blood.
Yeah. And there was.
You just saw like.
And there were some moments where they did have a lot of, you know, blood in certain movies. You know, I think like Last House on the Left was probably the goriest thing I saw out of the 70s, other than. Blood Freaks from Herschel Gordon Lewis, but that was probably it. Maybe the like I would say maybe the original 1,000 Maniacs, but I'm not 100% sure if that movie really was gore. Because I remember a lot of Herschel Gordon Lewis stuff was like crayon Express. Blood.
Express. You want any?
No.
Same thing. I always want. Orange chicken with doodles.
Same thing we do every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world.
Mm-hmm. Oh, dude, I saw a Pinky in the Brain, like, sticker on Temu. I was going to, oh, I got to get that.
Be like, yes. Are you pondering what I'm pondering, Pinky?
I sure hope so, Brain. But I can't figure out how to get to the center of the earth with only a spoon.
No, you dim-witted dindle fuck. See, I had to throw the cuss word in there. Because I can't talk like Brain.
I can't talk like Brain.
At least not without sounding like a sailor.
Yeah. But,
Oh, another thing I found earlier today is I forgot that I owned Batman the Animated Series and the New Adventures of Batman the Animated Series. I have both of them.
Oh, Jesus.
I thought that the second one, I could have swore I had Batman Beyond. I could have swore I had that. And I was looking through my TV hard drive, and I was like, oh, shit, it's not even there. So now I got to wonder, because there was like, there was this day where I got together with friend of the show, Jamie Ortiz, formerly of We Ain't Sober Productions. I did the editing for The Hoe Killer, la la la. They wanted a copy of the original Guyver series, which I still have on DVD. And I went to copy it for them, but I think they, I don't remember if they did it or if I did it, but one of the two, the Guyver series isn't there, so they probably cut the footage off of my drive and put it on their drive.
Mm-hmm.
So now but it's a good thing I recently bought a DVD player for my computer, because there was like some old band footage stuff that I had that I wanted to get, that I had on a disc, like, because I got a bunch of like old discs and stuff, and a lot of the discs either have like cuts of like movies and stuff. There's like I think I have like a really cool cut, the Redux cut of Apocalypse Now. That's how I had my Blair Witch 2, was that, because my buddy Bruce made that for us. But I think now, the good thing I have that disc player, because now I can take the original DVDs for the Guyver for season 1 and 2, and I can cut those finally to file. So I'll probably be doing that the rest of the night.
I still have Guyver 2, the movie.
Oh, God. The one with fucking J.J. Walker?
Yep.
That movie, like, I don't know. For some reason, like, even with the weird special effects spin on it, you know, where it's like, oh, it's The Matrix. Even though they did it
way
first.
Way before The Matrix.
Yeah. Even though they did it first, it's just weird. I don't know. For some reason, I was like, I like the way they made the suit look, but I hated the way they made the hyperzoanoids look.
Oh, yeah.
They look like Muppets.
Oh, like, yeah. And like every time they got kicked or hit, you could tell how soft the suits were.
Yeah, because like they'd make the same reaction. You would get like the same reaction out of them as you would if you were, oh, shit. God damn it. Kevin is attempting to hijack the show.
Kevin is attempting to hijack the show.
And it keeps sending me all this stuff. Like, I apparently have to tell Jax, which is probably some horrible dog-killing stuff. So... But yeah, God, we should bring in Kevin. What do you think? Let's see. Now he's probably busy. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that that new Texas game. That should be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's only $40.
Yeah, it's definitely not a pricey game.
Oh, it's not. I just need to know if I need to buy a season pass or something or anything like that.
All I have for the DLC.
Yeah.
I wish they had done something like what they did with Friday the 13th, where they like the, because they did a Kickstarter for that game too, I think.
Uh-huh.
So they what they could have done is they could have done like another pre-sale.
Well, they could add in more maps and more movies. And more characters, like,
yeah,
they get out in Texas 3 and Texas 2 and Texas the Next Generation. And
well, you know what I gotta wonder though is how much of Texas do they have the rights to? Like, if they have the IP for part 1, I would think they would have the IP for for the Leatherface prequel and for the Texas 3D sequel and for that new Netflix series. But I'm not sure if they have the older IPs, because New Line Cinema had part 3, Canon Films had part 2, and Platinum Dunes had the remakes. So that's kind of where I'm like, I don't know how much of the IP is to get combined or if it's separate. I know Canon still owns part 2 because they used it in the Child's Play remake. They used footage from that movie. So I don't think they have rights to 2, which is a bummer, because I would love to see the underground fucking fortress in that.
God, that would be so awesome.
That would be
being able to go up that one terrace and find Grandma.
Yeah.
If eating a cracker.
Fucking. So where's that? Fuck you, Charlie.
Yeah, fuck you, Charlie. Yeah, the dinner table where they did all the cooking, all the tunnels. That would be a great map.
LG's training camp.
Oh, God, yes.
At the chainsaw store. Where he's like, the radio station.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, God. And then, of course, they got to have the level with the fucking backwards car. The one where Oingo Boingo's playing in the background. No one lives forever.
Quit complaining, brother. Nobody lives forever. My favorite Oingo Boingo song ever.
It's definitely one of them for me. I still like Dead Man's Party a little bit better.
It's a dead man's party.
Yeah. Good old fucking Danny Elfman.
Weird Science.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm-hmm. They have a lot.
Yeah, they did. They really did. I know that's the first thing that comes up, though, if you type in Oingo Boingo. Usually it's Dead Man's Party, which is weird. You think Weird Science would be it.
Yeah.
Because that was their mainstream movie. I just can't believe it's Danny Elfman in the fucking
band. I know, it's hilarious, dude.
It's so weird.
I know.
Yeah, Dead Man's Party, Weird Science, We Close Our Eyes, Private Life, Flesh and Blood from Ghostbusters.
Oh, God, that's right.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, no shit.
Let's see. I don't know if I know this song. When the Lights Go Out.
That sounds familiar, actually.
Oh, geez, the album cover looks fucking crazy. I'm gonna play it over the air. It kind of does sound familiar. It sounds like it's from another movie, too. Can you hear it?
Yeah, a little bit.
Catchy as hell. I I think just for our listening audience, I'm going to go ahead and play that at the very end of the episode.
It reminds me of one of those songs that plays while all the zombies are waking up, you know?
Or like something you would hear in the movie The Hunger.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Vamp, that like in the strip club.
Oh, God, yeah.
Like with Grace Jones dancing and shit. Like, what? What's going on? I don't know what this is, but she's fucking hot. I still thought, I really do. I still think Grace Jones and Vamp is like one of the hottest things. And it's not that, because, I mean, she's very androgynous, right? So she's got, she's a lot like, she's a lot like Annie Lennox in that way.
But she's still a Bond chick.
Yeah, that's so crazy, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, when you look up Grace Jones's career, aside from like some of the movies that we've seen her in, you know, she was also still, you know, she was still a model. She was still a singer. Like she released albums and shit during the 80s. Very eclectic and kind of Bowie-esque kind of albums too, which I always thought were cool. Yeah, there was a lot. I mean, she was very talented. And I still want to this day, I was actually thinking about this the other day when I was taking a shower. I, to this day, still want there to be a Conan role-playing game where you reenact the events of Conan the Destroyer. And then if I had the chance to play that, I would buff the shit out of Grace Jones's character. Her and the her and the wizard. Both.
What was the big tall black dude that was a basketball player?
That was Kareem, wasn't it?
No, that wasn't Kareem. That was
It was
Will Chamberlain.
Okay.
Yeah, like Bumbata. Yeah, that's what I was going for. Supposedly, he slept with over 10,000 women,
including that chick.
Yep.
I always thought the coolest character in that movie was the fucking was the guy with the psychic abilities, like the Chinese guy.
Oh yeah,
or the Mongolian guy or whatever he was.
Yeah, the same guy that was in the original Conan.
I don't think that was the same actor though, was it?
I think it was
the guy who played Subutai.
No, not Subutai. The guy who brought him back to life.
Oh shit, that's worth what you know. That's actually worth looking up now. Let's see.
Subutai was actually a friend of the.
Yeah, he was
the writer or the director of the original.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, he was like, "Hey, you want to play a part in a movie?" He's like, "Yeah, sure, dude."
You get to be the other barbarian,
buddy.
You get to be the other barbarian with four wins.
Krom
laughs at your four wins. Let's see. Okay, so Conan the Barbarian. Oh, I think you're right.
Yeah, I normally am.
Oh, fuck off. Unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Now I'm going to keep looking it up just to make sure I can prove you wrong somehow. Oh, that sucks. He had esophageal cancer.
Oh, really?
Throat cancer.
Kind of sounded like it. The way he did that shit.
Did you also know he was in Samurai Jack?
Really?
Yeah. He had a recurring part. He was also in the 2007 animated Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I bet he was Splinter. Not to sound racist. I'm not trying to sound racist or anything, but he was Japanese and so was Splinter. It's not really, it's not racism. It's accuracy.
You know? It's accuracy. Yeah, that's why Tony Shalhoub played fucking Splinter in the newer ones, huh?
Oh, God, really?
Yeah, he actually did not a bad job. Dude, that's Monk, motherfucker.
I was trying to sell it like Tony Shalhoub, too. I'm a bad actor.
I'm a bad actor.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, I think so. Maybe.
Although, I'm still waiting to see when that that new Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game is coming out. The Ronin one, where it's just one Ninja Turtle because all the other ones got killed, but they don't let you know which Ninja Turtle it is. Everybody guesses it's either Raphael or Michelangelo.
I already know who it is because I know who it was in the comic.
And it was Michelangelo, right?
Yeah.
And the people who made God of War are doing it.
I personally think the last Ronin should have been Raphael. That makes the most sense. He's the hothead. Mm-hmm. He would have got his brothers killed with his ridiculousness. And then that would just be him paying his penance for the rest of his life. It would make more sense, right? It doesn't make sense having Mikey being the last Ronin.
Well, it kind of does because Mikey was always the lighthearted one, but he goes dark.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't see him having a reason to, though. That's like the whole thing. It's like,
watching all his brothers die might be a good reason.
Yeah, I could see that. I do like the fact that he's got all the weapons.
They used all the weapons.
I thought that was pretty cool.
I can't wait for that fucking game.
Yeah,
especially because the people who made God, it's going to be gory.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah,
it's not going to be for the younger generation.
No, I mean it's based on a graphic novel. It can't be. I can't imagine it's going to be lighthearted. It's not going to be like Shredder's Revenge, you know, where there's no blood and a lot of robots and.
Mm-hmm.
The turtles don't kill people. They kill robots all the way through.
Exactly.
Because the foot soldiers were all supposed to be robots. Which I got to say, there's something to be said about Shredder's robotics program, which also comes back to the fact that he's Japanese.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The Japanese are ahead of
us. I think I was looking at you, like Kevin Nash talk about how much he got paid to play Super Shredder.
Oh, God, yeah.
It was like nothing. It was like he got like $2,000 or $7,000 or.
Man, I would have made more money on a Nitro.
What's his face? Sean William Scott talks about how much he got paid to play Stifler in the first one.
Yeah.
He got $4,000.
To play Stifler?
Yep. Because they didn't know how big it was going to be.
Yeah. I wonder how much Stifler's mom made. That would have been a good question. Be like, well,
she's an Oscar winner now, isn't she?
Yeah, she's worked really hard and had a lot of accolades, and especially in the most recent years. You know, she's had all those like different shows she's done, different movies.
Broke Girls.
Yeah, her character in Two Broke Girls. There was that, she did an Apple Plus series. She had two seasons on that. More the second season than the first. And she was really good in that. Just a lot of it for her. Like, it's always surprising, you know, to see what certain people will just, they'll just explode. And it's weird, too, because she's been around for a while. She was always...
Oh, yeah.
She's always Stifler's mom in the American Pie movies.
Yeah, that's what our generation is going to remember as. Yeah. Then you got another generation who's going to remember from Two Broke Girls. And
yeah. Also a super funny show. And then
oh, hell yeah, dude. And Kat Denning. Ugh, god damn. I love that clip you sent me the other day. She's like, you know that sound of the guy snapping his fingers?
Yeah, he's like...
That dries up women's vaginas. Just the shit she says. You wear beanies during the wintertime, not because you're a hipster. I was like, dude, she just ripped those two dudes apart.
I know. She's like, oh, yeah, don't think we're on the same page.
And you could tell What's-Her-Face wrote that shit, dude. Oh, my God.
Whitney, yeah.
Yeah.
Whitney Cummings' comedy is all over Kat Dennings' lines.
Mm-hmm.
All over the place. And the cook. The one cook in the restaurant. The one dude.
Oh, yeah.
That she... Doesn't she have like an on and off relationship with that guy, or is he? No, he's
Stifler's mom.
No,
does.
He's dating Stifler's mom. That's right. Stifler's mom has got it going on.
Although I was watching those the other day, I love Stifler sleeps with that one dude's mom.
Oh, Finch's mom, yeah.
Who was? Oh God, what's her face from Hand That Rocks the Cradle?
Rebecca De Mornay.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he got the better deal. Not to be biased, because she was in a horror movie, but a few of them. I mean, she was in the remake of Mother's Day.
Dude, I remember watching Risky Business and just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, back in the day, I loved her.
No, Rebecca De Mornay was gorgeous. And... Yeah, no, I still definitely like Hand That Rocks the Cradle.
They don't make movies like that anymore.
Nope. They stopped making movies like that after Poison Ivy.
Which one? 1, 2, 3, or 4?
Well, you know. They're like, we can't have any more of these like psycho chicks in movies. This is a bad look. Now, psycho other people, however...